Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It's Dana Williamson here with Bad FBI. Thank you so much for tuning in to the podcast, Blessed Bureau. And guess what we're talking about today? We are at our third night of talking about conversations the saints should have, what's wrong with sex. And actually, this is part three, our third night, third week. We're talking about what's wrong with sex. And it's been interesting because every time I do this podcast and I go to the next day, God reveals something that allows me to see where I'm on the right track, where I am trying to enlighten people and really give them the opportunity to open up. And even if they don't open up here, they do open up somewhere. And what I mean by that is somebody might inbox me on Facebook, somebody might DM me here on Blog Talk Radio, somebody might text me, I don't know. But what I do know is at this point in time, I know that I'm on the right track bringing this conversation back. And I don't know how long we'll be talking about this. I might have to make this its own series so that we talk about it every week. But right now, I'm not stopping until the Lord says so. So again, I thank you all for tuning in to the podcast. I am the original Bad Queen of the Roundtable. So Blessed Bureau podcast is part of the Bad brand. I want to also let you guys know that I have another podcast, the Bad FBI, but it's on Anchor. And we talk about visions and dreams. Visions and dreams. So I'm excited about that as well. Only because the one thing I know about visions and dreams, it all ties in together with whatever God says to us, whatever he's asked us to do, whatever part of the assignment that he wants us to do. And again, I'm excited about that. And I'm glad that God is who he says he is, because if we didn't know him like we say we know him, we would be utterly lost. So if you would go over to anchor.fm/badFBI and tune into that podcast, it may not be as consistent as this one, only because I do not share about visions and dreams until the Lord says yay. Okay, amen. So let's get some housekeeping done before I get down to the conversation on tonight. And again, we are talking about what's wrong with sex. Conversations saints should have. I want you to visit Amazon.com, and I want you to look for A Sure Thing. A Sure Thing is a Christian fiction intimate novel that really started or spearheaded these conversations that we're having. Mind you, that book was published in late 2017, early 2018. These conversations started in the fall of 2018, almost a year ago. And why? Because the Lord laid it on my heart to do so. And then someone reviewed the book and said, keep going, do what you got to do because it's necessary and it's good. So from there, from A Sure Thing, we developed these conversations. And then from those conversations, we started the Marriage Bed Sessions. Now, with the Marriage Bed Sessions, we try to include this book, but we also sit down and are real. People sit down with me as a business and lifestyle counselor all the time, but as a ministry leader, I am qualified to counsel on the things that I know. So what I'm doing with the Marriage Bed Sessions is helping women, whether they've been divorced, engaged currently, or, you know, just looking to be courted. And back in that scene, we have real conversations about abstinence, real conversations about history, real conversations about what's actually taboo and what's not, and real conversations about what the Lord expects for us, especially as women of God. Our bodies are a temple, a living sacrifice to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is within. So with that, I thank you guys so much again for tuning in, and I thank you for being a part. If you want to call in, please do. The call-in number is 914-803-4530. Again, 914-803-4530 for you to call in, or we can chat in the chat room. So the chat room is available, and I am watching it while I'm speaking with you guys. So tonight. Well, last week I talked about how women feel about themselves going into a relationship, going into the bedroom, going into revealing their nakedness, okay, in front of their soon-to-be spouse, and or not soon-to-be spouse, but their spouse. And my concern last week with women was whether or not, you know, it may not be that it's just that they don't know what to do. They may feel some kind of hesitancy because of their body. They have personally shamed their bodies. They have personally, they've been ridiculed their whole lives in some kind of way. And there's something about their bodies they don't like. And I shared last week on whether or not that woman is ready. You know, you have to mentally be ready. You have to be able to accept who you are. Look at yourself and say, I love me. And so the introduction of that for me personally, after we were all done with the podcast and all done with the show last week, I said, you know, there are a lot of women that feel like I feel. Because, and bear with me, audience, for a second here. You can get to the age that I'm at. I've just celebrated a birthday, but you can get to an age where I am, and, you know, you start to look at your life 20 plus years ago and say, where was I? You know, I remember, and this is not getting away from the topic, but I remember my whole life, my mother said I was too fat. My mother said I was too dark. My mother said so many different things, which, you know, I won't get into on tonight, but she said so many different things to me about what I looked like on the outside that mentally, it every time I looked in the mirror, that's what I saw. So I saw a person who was overweight. I saw a person who was dark-skinned, and, I held those inhibitions. But then when I got to a certain point that I loved myself, I still somehow mentally saw this person who was bigger than what she was. Because when I finally got to a point of I was wearing clothing that I had been wearing 10 years ago, but they were for a bigger person, I said, well, who was I 10 years ago? Because this fits. It fits kind of snug, but it fits. It wasn't that the clothing was bigger all those years ago because they seemed to have fit. I don't know. You know, things have changed. The way they manufacture clothing nowadays has changed. But my point was, spiritually, what dropped into my mind was you had been mentally changed, mentally controlled to think that you looked a certain way, Dana, that you kept that. And now that you love yourself, you love who you are, when you look at yourself now actually being bigger, it's saying, okay, let me go back to these pictures and look at it. You're realizing, Dana, that I'm saying this in the third person because of the Holy Spirit speaking to me. You realize now, Dana, that you were a beautiful woman then, as you are a beautiful woman now, even though you're larger. And I had to have that conversation a couple of times because I keep saying, I don't get it. Where was I? Now, since I've done that sidebar, the reason why I brought it up is because some people have been mentally controlled their whole lives to accept that, you know, what is being said about them is what they see in the mirror when, you know, that controlling thing, that visual, you never know what that's like until you're that person. And now that I know that I was that person, that's scary. I look at my kids now and I say to them, you're beautiful. You always have been beautiful. You know, I might say to my daughter, you know what, you and I need to go take a walk together. This is not on her. This is me and her because I know what I want our legs to look like, quote unquote. But what I understand is that it doesn't take much, especially when you're a child. It doesn't take much to listen to what someone is saying and accept what they are saying about you. Now, and if they say it every day, what does that do for you mentally? What does that do for you mentally, and what do you see? This is part of this conversation, and I'm bringing last week's topic into this week's because it has a lot to do with how we feel when we're alone in intimate situations. You know, if we always have to have the lights off, or, you know, you can't enjoy the foreplay because, you know, you're worried about him looking at the rolls, or you're worrying about him feeling the rolls, or your thighs are too big, so you're worrying about squeezing him to death, you know, those kinds of things. And you can't enjoy the intimate connection because of what's going on in your head mentally. And some of you are probably saying, well, maybe they should just get counseling. They should just get full counseling so that they can get past those inhibitions. But you're talking about counseling that I would say someone would need Monday through Friday before they could even get close to getting to their marital bed. The reason being is because it's a lifelong situation, a lifelong mental change, a lifelong mental control that a child has had. Now, this could go two ways, but I can only speak about this from a woman's perspective. It takes a lot for us to get past what mama has said. It takes a lot for us to get past what daddy has said. It takes a lot for us to get past what God really wants, well, not get past, but to realize what God really wants for us in our lives and for us to accept that we are who we are. You know, we tell people, and this is another reason why we have to have these conversations. The saints will tell people, God loves you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are more than a conqueror. You are victorious. You are beautiful. You are the rose of Sharon. Okay, we can say all of that. And they can hear us say all that and be like, oh, okay, amen, and walk away and still be the same that they were before they heard us basically regurgitate scripture. At some point, you know, we need to live, not at some point, let me rephrase this quickly. We need to live our lives according to the word of God. We do. We need to reiterate what his word says about us. We do. But we also need to be the shoulder, be the voice, be the helping hand, be the one that needs to help the other person, be the one, you know? So we need to be that sister. We need to be that mom. We need to be that cousin. We need to be something to her, because just telling her she's fearfully and wonderfully made, just telling her that God made her beautiful, just telling her that, you know, all of those things, Rose of Sharon, all of that, just telling her that is not going to help her strip down to her flesh, her nakedness with her husband, if she has been mentally changed her whole life, mentally controlled. Basically, she's been told she looks a certain way and has been negative. She's been told how negative she looks her entire life. We can't just give her a book of scriptures and just send her on her way. That's like, let me use this as an example. When I was coming up, and I was a teenager, and we were members of this apostolic church, and we were there all day, all night, seems like, and I'd have my Bible, you know, I'd have my Bible, and I'd read my Bible in church, and you know, so I'd read, and I read, and I read, and then I think I was like 12 or 13 years old, and my mother would say after church, okay, so what did you read, and what did you learn? I don't know. All I know is I'm supposed to read the Bible. So I'm reading it. I don't know. And at that time, I was, and actually, I believe I was probably more so anywhere between 10 and 12. But I remember I went to Catholic high school my whole life, and I'm reading this Bible like, this is not the Catholic. I went to Catholic school. I went to elementary, and I went to high school. So I went to Catholic school for 13 years, but starting in K-5. But when we read the Bible in school, they taught us what we were reading. When we went to church on Sunday, it was read this and figure it out. And I remember reading about this in school, but I'm just reading. And I said that to say, this is where we have to change how we have the conversations with women, their intimacy, their, you know, that honeymoon night, their marriage bed. We have to stop saying that, hey, the marriage bed is undefiled. Okay, well, we know that, but what are we saying to the women? And so here's my point on tonight, now that I've hopefully done a great recap. But here's my point on tonight. If a woman feels alone in all aspects of her life, in this particular thing, opening up that bedroom door and closing that bedroom door and stripping down to her nakedness, she will always feel alone, and she will never be able to enjoy, especially if she has inhibitions about her body, she will not be able to enjoy making love. See, and I probably, you know, thinking about this now, we're talking about what's wrong with sex, because it's simple enough, what's wrong with sex. But can we touch on making love? If her husband wants to make love to her, and you know what? He doesn't care what she looks like. He loves her. He married her just the same, right? He doesn't care if she's got two or three rolls, back fat, thighs rubbed together, you know, starting a fire. He doesn't care. He wants to, now he's ready to make, he said, I do. I'm ready to make love to my wife. But my wife can't be comfortable with herself in order to allow me to make love to her. So now we have to be that sister on this side of the door in order for our sister to be that wife on the other side of the door. We have to be the ones, and yeah, I'm putting it on us, not just on the woman who goes in there and she might need counseling and she might need therapy and she might need hospitalization. I don't know. I'm really taking that all the way to the left. But we, at some point, the woman needs another set of women. This is our call. This is our charge. This is what we're supposed to do as older women. We're supposed to teach the younger women. You know, yes, I may be divorced, but guess what? I have the experience. Yes, I was not saved my whole life. Sorry. But the truth of the matter is that woman needs us. So here's another charge to you. Take the scripture in Titus and do what you're supposed to do. Because if that woman, if you know someone who's engaged or who's engaged, who's remarrying, not remarrying, but someone who's engaged and has never had sexual relations and is getting married, you need to pull that woman aside and say, hey, let's have a conversation. Let's have a real conversation, okay? Not the Sunday after church eating dinner conversation. Let's have the Saturday night when I used to be in the world conversation. And even a woman who is remarrying, you know, sometimes a woman like me, you don't know the situation as to why they got a divorce. But was it because of intimacy? Was it because of how that person treated them? Was that man to her narcissistic? Was that man, you know, downgrading? Was he, you know, trying to be controlling? And now she doesn't even know how to let her inhibitions go to allow herself to be loved by somebody else. Maybe you need to pull her aside and say, let's talk about this. And yeah, it needs to be one of those Saturday night conversations. Not that Sunday morning before Sunday school or in between Sunday school and fellowship service conversations, and not one of those conversations that you have after the conferences. No, this needs to be a conversation that you know you have with your sister. Something to encourage her. Encourage me. Listen, you guys have been encouraging me by the questions and the comments and whatnot. You guys are encouraging me, but it, even in encouraging me and while I'm giving this message or while I'm sharing this word, there's somebody out there who's saying, listen, there is a problem with sex because the mother of the church told me that the marriage bed is undefiled and she walked away. And I'm like, what does that even mean? There's a woman out there saying that. There's a woman out there trying to get that understanding. There's a woman out there, and she's like, listen, I need some help. And I don't need y'all playing Jesus on the main line in the background either. So what happens, and why this is, why I'm so passionate about this, is because, you know, even in that conversation, even in that, we could be steering someone away from God because we're giving them just enough to walk away, but we're not giving them enough to live. We're not giving them enough to choose holiness and continue to choose holiness. We're not giving them enough to understand why they have abstained from sex and they have decided to be celibate. We're not giving them enough. We're not saying, okay, well, yes, it's a sin to fornicate. Yeah, we know. Okay, so they haven't fornicated. So they haven't they've abstained and been celibate. Now they're getting married. Now what? And you're probably saying, okay, well, there's no answer in the word, so I really don't know what to say. But there is an answer in the word, and it's in Titus. And matter of fact, let me just get you the full scripture so that I can share that, and you can say it over and over and over to yourself. And you can give the people what they need. Titus chapter 2, verses 3, 4, and 5. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. We are to be the teachers. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Nothing. There is nothing wrong with that. It is necessary. There is nothing wrong with sharing our experiences and where we've been, because it's necessary. We all are teachers some kind of way. We all are evangelists some kind of way. It's necessary. Because the last thing we want to happen is someone that we know that we could have taken the time to help, to teach and educate, to be the elder woman. We don't want to hear that woman, another woman say, I'm getting a divorce. And then we ask, well, why? And she says, I really don't know. Because the other thing is, he cheated. They didn't get a divorce, but he cheated. He loves her, but he needed something more. So now she's mad that he cheated, but he needed something more. But can we go back to before they said, I do? Who helped her? Teach her how to keep her husband happy. So, yeah, I am giving a charge to you. I'm just adding to, or not even adding to, I'm just reiterating what Titus says for us to do. Help the younger women. Teach them how to be. To love their husbands. keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands. Come on now. Do I need to elaborate on what to love your husbands actually means? We can't say, well, it means cherish, honor, and obey, because love, then all they would have to say is love your husband. It wouldn't have needed to say obey. Our vows would need to say honor. The charge is for us to do what the word says to do, and it's just that simple. There's somebody out there. There's somebody getting married. And it's not, and it's somebody that you know. I wouldn't say, oh, go to the girl that's getting married in church and say, hey, have you been abstaining from sex? Have you ever had sex? Let's talk about it. No, I'm saying there's somebody out there you know that probably needs you. Or you know what? Maybe you need to start a group at the church. Have the conversations needed to have. This is why I created the Marriage Bed Sessions, because somebody needs to be able to tell the truth. Somebody needs to stop blushing about everything. Somebody needs to stop being a prude. And somebody needs to teach the woman, answer her questions, help her see, let her make the decisions from there. Let her make the decisions from there. This is who we know she is or can be. And in all honesty, it's what we have to do. In all honesty, it's what we have to do. Because the scary fact, and I'll get these numbers for one of our next episodes, but the scary fact is that Christian marriages end in divorce faster than marriages in the world. I won't say it all has to do with sex, but I will say it has to do with something that we're missing. And we don't want to miss it. You best believe I want to make sure that my future king is happy. Yes, I am not just talking about relations. I'm talking about everything in the house, but I'm including that. I want him to be happy with one wife, not a wife and a side chick. So with that, I think the importance that we have right now is understanding that there's a whole lot that goes on in that marital bedroom that, yeah, you probably don't want to talk about over the pulpit. But we also should stop sending women, especially those who have abstained from sex, into these bedrooms and telling them to figure it out. I'm going to continue to say that over and over. Stop sending these women into the bedrooms and telling them to figure it out. That's not fair to them. Not at all. And I'm not telling women to have sex before marriage. I'm saying we all should have a conversation, have it together, especially those that have been there and done that, and those that need to know how to be respectful of their own bodies, how to be respectful and aware of their husband's bodies, and how we just need to have that conversation, and it be an intimate conversation between sisters. If you need me to come and do so, hey, I will definitely do that with the Marriage Bed Sessions, because it's needed. I also have I want to give you guys the opportunity to talk to me directly. God bless you. I'm Dana Williamson. Good night.